ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Sir David Attenborough is turning 100 years old and he's still working. And our 2026 Senior Australian of the Year is 78 and is still working full time.
Hello, I'm Scientia Professor Henry Bradati. I'm co-director of the Centre for Healthy Brain Ageing at the University of New South Wales, Sydney.
So how are you tracking? Hello, I'm Lisa Leong on ABC Radio National's This Working Life, helping to make your work life better. Whether by choice or financial necessity, more of us are likely to work past retirement age in coming years. So what are the benefits of working for longer? And if that's what you need or choose to do, how can you make it happen? Let's meet Ronnie Khan. She's the founder and visionary in residence of food rescue charity Oz Harvest. Ronnie, hello.
Good morning, Lisa.
So what role does work play in your life, Ronnie?
It is absolutely fundamental in my life. I work 5 days a week, maybe more. I stopped counting 20 years ago when every single day work is a joy, a privilege, and I feel incredibly fortunate that I love what I do.
And if you don't mind me asking, how old are you, Ronnie?
I think I'm 73, maybe going to be 74. I stopped counting that too.
So you mentioned sort of the 20-odd years when you pivoted. So I'm 53 at the moment, so I'll reveal my age. So about the same time, you actually did quite a big pivot. Do you want to just talk about that moment and how that sort of gave you this new lease of a work life?
Absolutely. So I did love my work prior to starting Oz Harvest. I was an event producer. And because I kept seeing so much food go to waste, one of the events I did just suddenly woke me up to the fact that we'd been wasting food. And it suddenly occurred to me that I could use that food in a better way. And that was really the beginning of both my food rescue life, my rogue food rescue life, and the genesis of starting Oz Harvest.
I don't know if you can answer this question, but do you think that you would still be working to this age if you hadn't found that purpose in your work life?
I'm pretty sure I would, because I loved what I did. And in my previous life, in that event life, I was marking a unique moment in the life of either a business or an individual. So it felt very meaningful. I knew that I was creating very, very memorable moments. And I loved it. So, and I'm highly energetic. So I can't imagine why I would have stopped, especially noticing and seeing some of the people or friends my age who gave up work. I don't feel they're as vital and vibrant and energized as they used to be when they worked.
Such an interesting point. Do you think that your energy levels have been affected at all by age?
No. Let's put it this way. I'm not. My team feel if I had any more energy, they would worry very much about how they would cope. They duck when I walk into the office every day in case I have a new idea.
Well, and here's a really good point that you're making, I think, which is that your work is giving you energy, whereas people think that work sometimes depletes your energy.
Oh, I could 100% vouch for that, that the joy of waking up every day. And I will share this little anecdote with you because it happened to me last week and you mentioned David Attenborough's 100th birthday. I was asked to call one of our volunteers to wish him happy birthday. Now, I have been doing this for many years, but this year was particularly special because it was his 100th birthday and he volunteers with Oz Harvest. And when I called Jim to wish him happy birthday and to thank him for giving us his time, because time is one of the most valuable things we've got, he turned around to me and said, "Ronnie, I have to thank you. I have a reason to get up every single day and I love it."
Beautiful. Do you plan to retire at all one day, Ronnie?
No.
Didn't sound like it.
My board and my people might decide to retire me, but I'm not really planning on it.
Well, you did step aside as CEO of OzHarvest a couple of years ago. Can you go deeper on that?
I did. And that was a big decision for me. I did want to make that move before the board felt that I wasn't useful anymore, but also wanted to bring in new skills to OzHarvest, given that I'd run the business for 20 years. And it's been a wonderful transition because the new CEO, James Scott, and myself complement each other significantly. He came in with operational skills and huge process and project management skills. And in fact, although I've built the business and it's a logistics and transport business on one level, if you think about it, what we do is we rescue food and deliver it to people in need. That's never been my skill. My skill has been in building a culture that is quite unique, I think, special, building a brand, a charity that, you know, wouldn't necessarily be connected with this notion of brand and holding a unique space. And so we complement each other. So now I can do the things that I love even more.
So beautiful. So let's meet someone else who's working past retirement age. We've got Brian James, an entrepreneur and co-founder of a restoration business called The Copper Doctors. G'day, Brian.
Hi, Lisa. Good to be here.
Brian, I understand you'll be 75 this year.
What? I will, but I feel 32.
32? Why 32 in particular?
It's a nice number.
What motivates you to continue working, Brian?
Well, I love what Ronnie said about being energized by her work, and I feel the same way. I discovered accidentally what I ended up growing into a business, the Copper Doctors, and each morning I can't wait because every day is different. We're working on either a town hall or a heritage building or even little heirloom items. And it's exciting.
Let's talk about the story of how your business came about. So what happened?
So my daughter opened a shop in an arcade in a suburb of Melbourne called Armadale. It's called King's Arcade. It started in 1893, 12 shops, and they had trims on all the windows, and they were black. And my daughter, who has a textile business, toweling loom towels, and she said, "Dad, could you clean the trims on my windows?" And it was a big job. And I said, "I'm sorry, darling, but I don't work with my hands. I'm a creative person. I have a background in PR." And she said, "Dad, get over yourself and just clean the window trims." And I started. It took me 3 weeks. And it revealed all the tarnish and the paint revealed beautiful copper trims. And I loved it. People gave me advice as I was starting. They said, "Why don't you use Coca-Cola or tomato sauce because it has acid in it?" And I had to use a ladder. And they said, "I think you're a little too old to be on a ladder. Get down." And at the end of it, the owner of the arcade said, "Could you do the whole arcade?"
Wow.
And it just started from there. So now we work all over Australia.
And what do you think it was, you know, moving from that mindset of, "Oh, look, actually, I don't work with my hands," yeah, to suddenly your business accidentally expanding like that?
Well, I appreciate what people do when they work with their hands. I work now with a lot of artisans who help us, mostly in their mid-70s or late-70s, and they don't want to retire, and they don't have any young people coming up to take over their business, so they have to keep working. It's a bit like Zen. You're working with a beautiful product that is disguised by 10 coats of paint or 80 years of tarnish, and then you reveal this beautiful brass or copper, and it gives you satisfaction. It's fulfilling and it's hard work and it keeps you fit. And we start early and we finish late. I often work 7 days a week, and I just love it because at the end of the day, like Ronnie or anybody who loves their business and it's creating something, something beautiful or helping the community, and I think it just goes to your heart and you feel good, and I love it.
And as the business expanded, you actually had to build a bit of a crew, and I think you had some retired mates who came to help you out.
Yes. So I have a 78-year-old medical scientist from Cabrini Hospital. He was head of bloods there, a former banker, finance guy, and a couple of others who have retired, but their network has sort of disappeared. They have a lot of time on their hands, perhaps too much time. And when they work with me on a range of things like 12-story brass staircases or a whole range of things, they love the little community, and also they love the fact that they're making something beautiful that wasn't beautiful to start off with, and they get paid.
Do you think you love working more now than you did when you were younger?
I think I've always loved my work, and if I didn't love it, I changed it. And so when I started the Compa Doctors, I was in between. I sort of semi-retired. I wasn't looking for anything, and then it just came up, and I took a risk. I didn't have to put a lot of money into it, and I was able to create something, and this step of creativity is a great reward. And financially, it pays well as well.
Heard about Ronnie's amazing energy levels. So how are your energy levels?
They're very good. It's a very physical job. So I need to have the flexibility, which means that I do exercises every morning at home. And that keeps me going through the day. Although I went to the GP recently and he said, you've got very high blood pressure. I don't know what you're doing, but you need to do something in your life. So I'm working on that at the moment. But I think the work keeps me fit and stimulated. And like Ronnie, people say, when are you going to retire? But I don't feel like retiring. I'm energized.
You're listening to This Working Life on ABC Radio National. I'm Lisa Leong. My guests for this episode about working past retirement age are Brian James, co-founder of the Compa Doctors, and Ronnie Khan, founder and visionary at Oz Harvest. And because our Senior Australian of the Year is in a different time zone right now, we did speak to him earlier.
Hello, I'm Scientia Professor Henry Bradati. I'm co-director of the Centre for Healthy Brain Ageing at the University of New South Wales, Sydney. I'm 78. And I work full-time at the university, so I'm involved in policy, research, teaching, supervision, but also do a day-a-week clinical work. So I do two half days at Prince of Wales Hospital in Sydney. One half day I see outpatients at the hospital, and the other half day I do visits mainly to nursing homes. So I work in clinically as well, which I enjoy. And I just love that mix of the clinical, the academic, and the policy, and now, of course, with the Senior Australian Award, then public speaking. So I don't have any plans to retire. In fact, I see myself working for another 5 years. I may cut down a bit, but I enjoy what I'm doing, and I don't see the need to retire. You know, I see patients who are my age or a year or two older who are doctors who've retired, and they say, Henry, you know what I miss? There's one guy in particular I remember. He was a surgeon. And he said, when I was working, you know, I was in the operating theatre, I was the guy. Everyone looked up to me. You know, working in the hospital, people knew who I was. Now I'm not relevant. And people talk about this relevance deprivation syndrome. And so that's what he was experiencing. Yeah. So many of my friends who have retired love it. Some resent it, particularly those who've been put off because of age. They resent it because they had a lot more to offer. And that's a big issue, really. You know, the older people, we have full retirement age at 67 officially, when people get pension. But most people at 67 are still very active, very capable, and have a lot to offer. But if you're over 50 or 55 and trying to get a job, it's a hard task.
Professor Henry Bradati. Henry will be back later with some healthy brain aging tips. Also listening is Alison Hernandez, co-founder of Recreate 100. She advises organisations and individuals about longevity and redesigning work and life. Hello, Alison.
Hi, Lisa.
What are the stats on the reasons why people retire?
Well, it's really interesting, isn't it? And so marvellous to hear these fabulous stories of people continuing to work longer but differently. And like David Attenborough, some of your best and most purposeful contributions can be made in those later decades. So it's so heartening to hear. So what we know is, in fact, Lisa, that only about a third of Australians actually get to choose when to retire. And there are a number of other factors which can often get in the way of our intended retirement date. And whilst over 70% of Australians intend to work longer than 65, actually the reality is that people are retiring a year and a half to 2 years earlier. And some of the reasons behind that can be health, particularly for those in more physical, manually demanding roles, potentially, unless there is significant change to the design of the role, then health gets in the way of working longer. The other factor, particularly pertaining to women later in their career, is caregiving responsibility that can present that choice for people, and they might step away from the workforce prematurely. And then the third factor impacting is, you know, being caught up in a restructure or being impacted by redundancy. So it's actually sometimes out of our hands as to when we retire. But I think, as Roddy and Brian have demonstrated, we can actually reinvent and recreate our future and work longer but differently.
And this is your focus. Your approach with clients is closely linked to the book, The 100-Year Life. That's by Linda Grattan and Andrew Scott from the London Business School. Do you want to summarise the philosophy for us?
The premise there is obviously, with longevity as a significant megatrend and increased life expectancy, we not only need to work longer, but we want to work longer for some of the reasons that Brian and Ronnie have shared around purpose and contribution. And so in The 100-Year Life, Linda and Andrew paint a really positive picture of the assets that we need to build upon throughout the life course in terms of tangible assets, thinking about money and the future and having sufficient financial assets to sustain us to a later life, and also the intangible assets, which are more around our health, our skills, our knowledge, and our networks, all of which need nurturing continuously through the life course.
So that idea of three stages, very distinct: education, one career, then retirement, is kind of being questioned there, isn't it?
It is. And in the book, Andrew and Linda talk about the emergence of a multi-stage life, which inherently is more complex and needs a lot more planning. And a multi-stage life can have lifelong learning and should have continuous reskilling and reinvention, alongside perhaps mini breaks and micro retirements are becoming a bit of a trend. Because if we're going to sustain a longer working life of 50 years or more, it goes without saying we might not be able to have our foot to the floor for that entire period of time.
How can organisations facilitate extended working lives?
We were talking about the question, you know, when are you intending to retire? I think we're asking the wrong question. We should be asking, how can you keep best contributing? And then it's a conversation between the organization and the individual so that they can really hone their skills and their expertise. And often we see people going back to the tools, if you like, the things that they once really loved, but perhaps throughout their career got further away from. So creating flexible work pathways so that people can sort of gradually transition or glide to retirement, if there is such a thing. So part-time work or, you know, consulting work, using long service leave to draw down in your final 3 to 5 years. And so there's lots of things like that that organizations can do to encourage people. Job redesign is also huge. So actually thinking about shift and rosters, thinking about the duration that we're asking people to work, perhaps moving people from night shift onto day shift, shorter shift times, and all of those sorts of things are an opportunity to create work that is inclusive for everyone as they age.
Alison, what advice would you have then for individuals who do want to keep working, but maybe they're not quite supported by their current organisation?
Well, I think we do have more options now, and it does require a few key ingredients, I think, if we wish to work longer. One is that we keep our skills alive. You know, we need to stay relevant. We need to keep investing in lifelong learning and upskilling, particularly these days in the areas of digital literacy. So I think that is always really important. And we need to take ownership of that, I think, Lisa, and be in the driving seat of our own career and our own plans for the future. And the other one that I talk to people about a lot in our programs is keeping your networks alive. Often what we see is people with long tenure staying for decades with one organization. And then when that might come to an end by choice or otherwise, they look up and look out and they really haven't fostered a really healthy network on the outside. So we know that a lot of opportunities come through people we know. For example, Brian's daughter fueling his copper business. So I think it's important to always have an eye on the horizon and be looking at what's happening out there, keep on top of the trends and foster our relationships and our connections.
Ronnie Khan, what are you reflecting on right now?
Well, I'm thinking about one of the things Alison mentioned, of course, was keeping abreast of things. I think as we age, we have wisdom. We do have so many skills. So, of course, keeping abreast of things, but to cut people off because of a particular age and then creating barriers to finding different things to do is such a waste of resources. You know, older people have got so much to offer.
And so what advice would you give an individual who wishes just to keep on working, who might not have that support from an organisation?
If you feel you still have skills and that particular company doesn't want you, much like Brian, you redesign using those skills in a different way, but not just to give up and say, okay, I'll go and smell the roses, unless that's something that somebody wants to do. It's a beautiful thing to do. And I'm sure at some point, some of us will enjoy smelling roses.
One day for you, Ronnie. Although you spent a long time in flowers.
I did spend a long time in flowers. Love flowers.
I love that reflection. Brian, what are your reflections?
Well, I think that if people have retired or being pushed out, let go, that there are unexpected opportunities out there. I had no skills in what I ended up doing. And sometimes there's a bit of a risk, and it's to step out of your comfort zone and give it a go. The other thing is that, yeah, as an older person, we've had lots of experience and we do share wisdom. And I'm sure Ronnie and Alison may experience the same thing. But my colleague is 32 years old, and working with somebody who's much younger, 40 years younger, that just keeps you youthful as well and in touch, and, you know, social media and risk-taking. So it's that combination of having experience and passing on some wisdom and also receiving some of their youthful wisdom.
Brian, thank you so much.
Pleasure, Lisa. Great to see you.
And Ronnie, thank you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Alison, thank you as well.
Wonderful. Thanks, Lisa.
Ronnie Khan is the founder and visionary in residence of food rescue charity OzHarvest. Brian James is an entrepreneur and co-founder of restoration business, The Copper Doctors. And Alison Hernandez is the co-founder of Recreate 100. And as promised, here's Senior Australian of the Year and Dementia Research Pioneer, Professor Henry Bradati, with his healthy brain ageing tips, which he gave us during a break from his workout in the gym.
I'm a great advocate for physical exercise. We know that physical exercise can delay the onset of cognitive decline. It has also many other benefits, such as for your heart, for your blood pressure, for diabetes, for reducing some cancer risks or cancer recurrences, for bones, for mood. So that's one thing, keeping your mind active. And so by working, one does that as well. Keeping socially active as well. So mind, body, and social. For people with hearing problems, wearing hearing aids, the earlier they start, the better. And also making sure that their health in good shape. So getting their health checked, their blood pressure, their fasting sugar. So because they're all risk factors that can be remedied. So about 50% or 45% exactly of the risk of dementia has been attributed to 14 environmental factors that we have control of, we can modify. On the other hand, 55% is not modifiable. And so we shouldn't blame people who get dementia because they haven't attended to their risk factors. But there are things that we can do. And one of my aims as Senior Australian of the Year is get a national brain health promotion program that we can encourage people to take control of their brain health. So we've been pretty good at looking after our heart health. We worry about our cholesterol, which is also a risk factor for dementia. We're good at making sure our blood pressure is good. We stop smoking. We've done well with skin cancer prevention with the slip, slop, slap. And so I've been talking about we need the slip, slop, slap of brain health as well. And what I'd like to see is a national brain health promotion program. I'd like to see primary care GPs becoming involved in this. GPs have done a terrific job with heart health. Let's now broaden that to look at brain health as well.
Thanks, Henry. And thanks for all your comments on our LinkedIn post. Here's a couple. Bill writes, it's all about your personal mindset. I'm engaged in family business consulting and succession planning, having just turned 80. I sit on 3 family business advisory boards and I constantly write articles and live by the motto, be seen, be read, and be heard, following Peter Drucker's example. I also row 3 mornings on the Bowen River a week in a Masters 8. Your age does not indicate your ability to add value to others. I call this cohort maturepreneurs. And Laura says, my uncle turns 80 at his next birthday and he's still working as an electrical engineer. He loves his work and can't imagine being fully retired. Thanks for listening to This Working Life. It was produced by Michelle Weeks and engineered by Tim James on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naarm, Melbourne. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can like or subscribe to our show on ABC Listen or anywhere you get your podcasts. And you can share the love as well. Send it to a friend or a colleague you think would enjoy This Working Life as well. I'm Lisa Leong. Until next time, love your work.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.